from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. Yeah.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You want a smart and lasting clean?
I do.
Look into Zero Res. We all do.
Yes, we do.
Especially after that party yesterday.
Golly.
Fumigate that house with all those dirty, stinking kids around.
No, we didn't have it at the house, man. We made smarter decisions than that. Went to an actual venue.
Oh, that's good.
Might be a little more expensive, but cleanup is nil. So that's always good.
So Braves enjoying a much-deserved off day after that long 10-game road trip. Finish up the trip 6-4. That makes for a pretty good flight home, especially winning the final game yesterday. But the big news, Austin Riley, what is his status after taking that 95-mile-an-hour pitch off his wrist? X-rays inconclusive. They're going to look further into that today. But stay with that 92.9 The Game all day, and we'll probably get the latest on the condition of one Austin Riley. Phillies coming in town tomorrow. Still leading the Braves by 7 games. Braves still 2 games up in that final wild card slot over the Mets right now as currently constituted. Falcons have to get that roster down like everybody else in the NFL by Tuesday. 53-man roster, 17 practice players. And Falcons lose 13-12 to Baltimore on Saturday. But who really cares about that, gentlemen, right?
Yeah, and you kind of went, to me, with the moves that Terry made last week. I know we're going to hear from him in a second. But the moves you made from last week, you went from looking at other people's rosters, like who and who they cut, and guys you could add to bring in to be an effective, to saying, is there any way I can cut this guy and get him on the practice squad?
Right.
Because there are so many people we're going to get to in a second. There's, to me, I don't recall seeing a defense where I felt as good about the depth as this one right now. It's been a long time.
No, and I'll be honest with you, the more we move throughout this roster, and there's, I think at every single level of the defense, I think the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary, there's going to be somebody that's going to be like, what? You're going to cut somebody, you're going to be like, I did not in a million years see that, imagine that being a thing after this game this past weekend.
But you never know. We don't see what necessarily goes on at practice every single day. We don't know the inside, what guys are actually engaged and doing everything they're supposed to do. But let's hear from Terry Fontenot. He was on with Arch and Wes Durham, basking in the glory of the week he had last week.
It was a good week, man. It was a good week. It was really fun. We made our team better, I would say, on the field and off the field, man. Like in what they're going to bring to the locker room, both Matt Judon and obviously Justin Simmons, not just what they're going to bring on the field as players, impact. They'll make an impact on our defense, on our team, but they're also multipliers and they fit our culture.
Well, that's all you want. Multipliers and fit your culture.
Well, I hope he means like multiple sacks, multiple interceptions.
Yes.
As in multipliers. I hope that's what he's talking about.
If you look at their track record, that's what they bring. I mean, Justin Simmons, 30 interceptions in his career, most since 2016. Matthew Judon had like 32 sacks in his last like 32 or three games. That's what they bring. Judon, he got hurt in week four. He started four games last year. He already had four sacks. So that's the thing for me is you bring that. I think our defensive line, I'm sitting there watching and I see Rook flash early in, I think it was maybe their first or second drive, Mike. Maybe it was the first drive Baltimore had.
Yeah.
And he gets that sack. And, you know, I've heard some people talking. They're like, yeah, but those guys that he did that against, they won't even be on a roster. It's absolutely false. If you go back, who their projected starters are on offensive line, they played three of them, Rob, Saturday, the entire first half, Baltimore did. And Voorhees is the guy who's projected at left guard from what we heard from them up there, and that's who Rook beat.
Have you guys ever been out to practice and seen the heavy bag that has two arms coming out of it, two kind of poles coming out, and you see the guys work their pass rush? Right. That's exactly what Rook did in that first quarter of this game to get that sack. He did exactly what you do. You stand up, give a little head fake, you put the little rip move on, and you go straight to the edge of that left guard, and that's a scary thing for a left guard. When you threaten the inside, you always take away the inside first, and then you try to react. And Rook was powerful enough to not let that left guard react back to the outside. Bo, to kind of stick with that sentiment, Natron Brooks had about as good of a game as I can remember anybody in the last two preseasons having. And it's not just the coverage was great. His ability to read exactly what the offense was trying to do, he blows up a screen pass early in the game. If you watch what they do on the, I think it was either a two-point conversion or a goal line play where he steps up and makes a tackle on the one-yard line. Incredible eyes.
He actually knocked that ball loose, by the way. Yeah, that was right in front of us. Both those plays were. That's why he was a Solomon Brothers player of the game. Dude, he was phenomenal.
He was unbelievable. He looked like a guy that could step right in and play when needed, and because he was a sure tackler. Look, coverage is great, man, you talk about coverage and obviously special teams. As a corner that can step up and make a tackle on a running back heading into the flat, he was ready. I loved watching Natron Brooks this past weekend.
Well, so did Raheem Morris. Let's hear from the Falcons coach.
Chris Blair certainly having a bounce back game from the fumble. You know, I know he came back last week and got the big play, but to come back and really put up 91 yards, I think, receiving or something like that, and catch some of the big plays over the middle of the field, that's all exciting for him. And Brooks, I mean, he played about as fast as you can play. He talked to me about playing middle linebacker in high school or something like that, but he was outstanding.
Well, there you go.
I love his interview. I know you were probably standing there, but I love his interview with you and Arch after the game, and he's like, man, that's that Mississippi, Emmy. Got a little dog in me from Mississippi. Yeah. You know what I mean? No big deal. I just always have my back against the wall.
Are you down there with Arch when he does those?
Yeah. Because I've been doing that for, I think, I only didn't go down there 1 year, but I'm always down there with Arch for those interviews. I get to send them back to Dylon and let Dylon edit them and get them ready for play, but it is cool. It's cool in the preseason because we got the Solomon Brothers player of the game this year, and they get a $1,000 gift certificate. Well, I have it. I'm the deliverer. I probably shouldn't tell that because I might get robbed outside the stadium now. But but I have it, and so I give it to him. And just the dude, he's like, what? I go, yeah, man. I was like, here you go. This is how it goes.
Bo's gonna walk in here with a bunch of.
Oh, you gave it Natron or Chris Blair?
No, we gave it Natron Brooks. Yeah, I thought he deserved it.
I agree.
He played his butt off. And he's not, dude, he was hitting some folks hard out there, and he's not an overly large guy. I mean, he's 5'11". I think he's probably closer to 5'10". But he even said, he goes, yeah, I'm 5'11", 165 pounds, and he packs a punch.
Yeah, what is it about those guys, Mike, having played the game? What is it about those smaller guys that can't lay the wood like that? What is it about? What is the essence of that?
Well, there's a toughness that comes along with, I think, some of just the spirit of playing corner. There's just some guys that take pride in it, right? I mean, I think trash talk goes a long way in coverage. Like, you always hear the guys doing one-on-one coverage, and they're talking trash, and they're going into press. But you really want to be a trash talker playing corner, you step up and hit somebody. And hit somebody square in the hip and send their feet over the top of their head in the running game. That's when you make teams. Like, that's the ultimate difference between a starting caliber corner and a guy that's just on the depth chart, is a guy that can step up and make a tackle on a running back. That's what you have to have.
Who was that Giants lineman that ran down that running back? Did you see that play this weekend?
No, but I can only imagine who it was. And if I thought long enough, I'd probably get it.
It was somebody that probably made the team based on something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Ran a 4.8 at the combine. Yeah.
Just random. That in-game speed, man.
It was
so
Elijah
that's.
Chapman.
Wow, that's great. It was Elijah Chapman who ran a 4.85 40 at the combine, and he ran down J.J. Taylor, who ran a 4.6.
Well, that reminds me. God, I did not know that he was a 4.8 guy. I had no idea. I guessed that. I was like, he's got to be one of those 4.8 combine guys.
I think that, I'm not going to speak for J.J. Taylor, but the part of me thinks that he kind of started to, he either got tired or he started to coast, because I don't think he was tired. I think he started to coast a little bit, because once he got by the DB, I think he thought he had it, and he didn't. That's just a hell of a play. I'm going to tell you something.
Who was that old Cowboys lineman that landed down? I think it was Darian Connor, linebacker for the Saints. Is it Larry Adams? That's like one of the most epic plays you've ever seen.
Larry. About Larry Allen?
Larry Allen, thank you very much. Yeah, Ray.
Yeah.
A guy that big, running that fast, running down a linebacker.
Well, it goes back to, we were talking, the funny thing was, is we were having this conversation, and I can't remember where, but it was Arch and I and oh, it was before the game. Arch and I and Greg Beatles were talking about plays like that, and we talked about the Julio play against the Bucks when he ran down Quan Alexander.
Right.
But there was one with Roddy where it was, I think it was Mike. It might have been 12. It might have been 2012, where Ryan had thrown like three or four interceptions. But there was one against, I think, San Francisco.
Yeah, I think it was 11.
Where he throws the pick. And it's at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's inside of a minute.
And it's going to seal the game. And Roddy chased the play, strips it. Ball comes out. They recover.
Who recovered it?
Yep.
Do you know who recovered it?
Let's see. Hold on. It was probably Todd McClure.
Harvey Dahl.
So it had to have been 11 then. And then what turns around happens is they go down the field, kick the field goal, win the game.
Win the game.
Well, I mean, I think we had three completions with like 20 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
That was one of the more astounding comebacks in the history of football. That was unbelievable.
That was wild. I remember that. We talked about that one. We were talking about, you know, big interception games. I remember when Matt had like 4 or 5 one year against Arizona, and you still won the game.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, I want to get your thoughts on this too, as we kind of, you know, talk about some of these performances we saw on Saturday. And Chris Blair was a name that Raheem brought up, and we've kind of been talking about it. I think the roster math looks a little bit different offensively this year. You had a fullback on the roster last year. You were obviously very tight end heavy. I think he kept 4 tight ends at the cut down. So you had 3 running backs, a fullback, and 4 tight ends. I don't think that's the case this year. I think you keep the extra wide receiver, and I think that Chris Blair right now is squarely in the conversation of wide receiver 6, because I think you go Drake, Darnell, Ray, Kadarius Hodge is probably in there. I have to think that Chris Blair is number 5 or 6 in that conversation, and that you move Jesse Matthews, Casey Washington, some of these other guys kind of into that role as you move throughout the second half of that. But
did you see all the pearl clutching about Penix not playing this weekend?
What did you think about that?
I would like to see him get the reps, but I'm okay with it because he's not expected to start this year. But I mean, look at that. Brock Purdy played yet the other day. Struggled, granted, but he played. Patrick Mahomes played.
A lot.
Yeah, it's so funny how people are like, yeah, it's one of the best coaches in the NFL. He plays his players. I go, yeah, how did it work out for Mike Tomlin? He lost his start, and we'll get to it in the blitz. He lost 2 starters on Saturday, and that's...
Oh, and Arthur Smith getting roasted on, like, what?
Well, I can't imagine that. Sean McVay hasn't... He's been keeping guys out.
He's historically just had an aversion towards preseason.
Well, and I think that's partly where Raheem...
I was going to say, that's a lot of where Raheem gets it.
They all have their own ways. I think too much is made about how much guys do and don't play in a preseason. I understand it with Penix. I understand completely with Penix because he's a rookie, and you'd like to see him get reps because he doesn't have a lot. But then again, when I see in the first half of a preseason game, the first one, a starter and a guy that was going to get probably, would you agree that Braylon Trice was going to get 30 to 50% of the snaps on defense this year? I would say that. I think he was.
I would err towards 30. Yeah.
But you are looking at that guy to contribute mightily, and I come back and they're gone for one of them for the year and the other at least half the season.
My standing has always been is that rookies should play in the preseason. Period. and because they need the reps. And you're hoping Penix doesn't play for the rest of the year, and all of a sudden he's going to be your incumbent in a couple of years. I'd love to see the reps, but I get it, man. It is what it is. Heinicke needs those reps too.
All right, come back. We are going to go in the huddle. We'll talk about the Steelers losing a couple of starters. And the most overblown, yes, he threw the pass behind his back. It's like, that is not like the most magnificent athletic achievement I've ever seen in my life. But we'll get into all that next in the huddle. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touch that dial.
This is the Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow. It's week zero, by the way. Georgia Tech, Florida State. Saturday at noon from Dublin. Braves back from that 10-game West Coast road swing, go 6-4 on that. Austin Riley, no updates on his wrist. But as far as in the huddle goes, a lot of talk about, well, you should play your starters in the preseason or you shouldn't. Well, Squid, you had something to say about that. Steelers lose a couple of starters on Saturday.
Yeah, for all that
or
talk.
Was it yesterday?
It was Saturday. For all that talk, I think people need to understand there are consequences. They lost their start and center, torn rotator cuff. Ooh. So I don't know how – I don't even see him.
He can't pitch either this year. He's done.
He's out. And then almost – Mike, you think maybe even bigger is the fact that Jaylen Warren has a hamstring injury now. He's going to miss, air quote, multiple weeks, which to me means you might see him by the end of September.
Well, we know how hamstring – I mean, listen.
Michael Harris.
I was
going to
say Michael Harris, and we've talked about Slayer hamstring injuries. When you're a guy that plays that position – and have to make short bursts are massive, especially a guy as electric as Jaylen Warren.
And isn't it true if you come back early from a hamstring, it just could aggravate it, it's more prone
to. You could make it worse.
Yes.
And that's always the conversation. Look, injuries that you can't make worse, Rob, you guys just play through them. But when there's the chance that you're just going to make it worse in the long term and even possibly tear it, that you're not going to do that. So Jaylen Warren is a guy that we talked about, you and I both talked about it a number of times last year, that I think he's better than Najee Harris in that role. I think he's more electric. I thought that he would take over as a starter by the end of the year, and he did. He started, splitting 50-50 towards the end of the year with Pittsburgh last year. When you talk about what Arthur Smith's offense is and what those guys will be asked to do, Jaylen Warren is going to be a massive part of that offense in Pittsburgh. If he's not playing in week one, count one over here for the team in red and black.
Yeah, and you're gonna rely now on Najee and Cordarrelle Patterson to be. And Cordarrelle Patterson
is Godwin Igubuke still there?
I do believe so. I knew that. I know that. I think, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of last year he was on the active roster.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I love Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm not knocking him at all, but I didn't see the Cordarrelle Patterson from 2021
last
and 22
year, no,
last
year. No, it was something limited last year about him, yep.
And he even started this year. He started training camp, not practicing. You know, he was dealing with some stuff. Just doesn't scare me there. I mean,
you know what it reminds me a lot of, and I guess it was week two last year. I can't remember the name of the running back from Green Bay that did not play, but now he's not in Green Bay anymore. But you had A.J. Dillon.
Jones.
Yeah, Aaron Jones did not play. Remember, Aaron Jones didn't play for Green Bay,
yeah.
And you had A.J. Dillon who filled that role. And there were like two different third down stops that Atlanta made in that game that were just, it seemed like A.J. Dillon just falling down in the backfield, simply just could not get back to the line of scrimmage and just, you know, falling down a foot short of a first down. And that really was the difference in that game. And I'm not saying that, you know, Najee Harris and Cordarrelle Patterson are not capable of picking up first downs, but I think they're very similar in their running styles. Bigger body guys, one cut north and south type guys that are physical runners. I'm just not sure they fit a ton what Arthur Smith is going to ask them to do. And I don't know if that offensive line does either at this point.
Well, and with the injury, you know, kind of like Onyemata going against a backup center. And now do they
have
to
be a rookie too?
Do they have to double him? Do they have to shade help? Oh. These are all the things that goes into this.
We've seen Grady as well line up at the zero nose on passing downs, and I cannot imagine as a rookie center, and I think he's a second-round pick in Pittsburgh. I can't remember. He played a lot this past weekend. But I tell you right now, I would not want to be playing Grady Jarrett on a passing down at zero nose.
Well, you play both your quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. You score 3 points. The offense has not been scoring. There are a lot of Steeler fans going, I never thought I'd miss Matt Canada.
Seriously.
It'll get better. I think it'll get better, but I mean, let's talk about this. What if Justin Fields wins that job or for some reason
I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
What if Arthur Smith and Justin Fields roll into town week one in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? That will be extremely interesting. Kirk Cousins makes his debut. You know, with Raheem Morris, and we going against Arthur, because Mike Tomlin's going to be an afterthought. It's going to be Arthur Smith and Justin Fields, the combination that the entire national media was in love with since what?
Yeah, the idea of Justin Fields coming to Atlanta.
January of 2021, and we haven't stopped hearing about it.
I think Justin Fields will win that job, and here's why. I think either one of them is going to be running for their life right now in terms of what I've seen offensive line-wise, and if you're going to be doing that and playing that style, you might as well get the guy that's still more agile in the backfield and go with Justin Fields.
Well, yeah, he is very agile back there, but he hasn't been a stranger to getting put on the ground and behind the line of scrimmage in his time as far as getting sacks or taking sacks. He and Russell Wilson find a way to get sacked, I would tell you, in their last three years.
Run their way into a sack, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not a knock. I mean, that's just the truth.
You
look at the numbers.
This guy's been hanging out with me too long, Rob. He's starting to blame it on the quarterbacks, and I love it. It's not always on the O-line.
Don't worry. I'll get straightened out at 8:20 when Arch joins us and tells us.
He's been hanging out with me too long.
You see you starting week one for the Raiders? Mr. Minshew, Uncle Rico starting week one. Gardner Minshew.
Strap on your headbands.
Do we get the NFL version of Gardner Minshew that we've seen every year but last year, or do we get that 2023 Indianapolis Colts Gardner Minshew?
I don't know. Let's hear Antonio Pierce talking about Uncle Rico.
Gardner Minshew is going to be the starting quarterback the 2024 season. Myself, Telesco, and Luke Getsy discussed it this morning. A lot of things went into it. It wasn't based off of last night. There's a lot of factors. So we feel like Gardner gives us the best opportunity to get off to a fast start, and that's what we're going with. We support him. Our team's behind it. Our staff's behind it. Our organization's behind it.
Have you seen his body of work, though? It's been every bit as good as Trevor Lawrence's.
For sure.
Yeah.
Under more difficult circumstances, yeah. I think.
Oh, I don't know. Having Urban Meyer year one is a pretty damn difficult circumstance. I know. I don't know if it is. I really don't. I think that was a debacle. Was Antonio... I'm an Antonio Pierce guy, but was he trying to? It felt like he was selling you on Minshew being in the quarterback.
Of course he is.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That's what I felt like when I heard that. I was like, it almost felt like he was either yelling at me or selling me on the fact that
Minshew. He was berating you while selling you.
No, he's not Steve Smith. I mean, Antonio Pierce.
You.
I like.
He was selling Raiders fans of saying, "Look, we're not going to stink this year. Please show up."
Well, I hope they stink in December.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
and that's a Monday night game, isn't it?
I believe so.
It's a prime time.
I was talking to somebody about this, Rob. Only about my buddy Gardner, who I stay with during training camp, and we were talking about injuries to Minnesota when they lost J.J. McCarthy. And I said, yeah, I don't care, man. Yeah, he goes, well, I said, I care about players. I don't like to see anyone get hurt. But I could care. I could give two blanks if someone is at full strength when we play them. I could give two blanks if someone sucks when we play them. I go, the competitor in me of, oh, I want them at their strength. That died a few years ago.
No, I don't care about that, man. Come in depleted. I need a win. I don't care.
You've been burned too many times of your own team not being at full strength.
Right,
as a
right.
Yeah.
It's like, hell with that.
I'm tell you something.
Time for that. What goes around comes
especially
around.
Now as a Braves fan, too.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You know what? I could give two. That's when everybody was like, yeah, you might have beat the Phillies last series, but they didn't have Harper and Real Muto. And I go, and we don't have Acuna and Strider, and now we don't have Albies. We might not have Riley. We might not have Soler.
Yeah, who cares,
When's
man?
Renato Lopez going to come back? I don't care.
What's the meme on the internet? A win's a win. A win's a win.
There's no asterisk about, yeah, but they played so-and-so without so-and-so. Care.
Guess what? The wins that Minnesota got over us last year with Josh Dobbs, they counted that for them. So, you know what I mean?
Is it ever mentioned that Alex Mack had a broken fibula in the Super Bowl? Is it ever mentioned that Ryan Schrader missed the last, like, half a quarter of that game? Is that ever mentioned? No, it ain't. Tevin Coleman, who was running the ball the best, got hurt down the stretch in that game, and that might have been why Devontae was in when he was – no. You never hear that crap. So save
right,
me.
Man. Sit down.
I'm sorry. Leave. I don't know. I just went and ran.
Just went
I don't
off
know.
Right there.
I just got fired up. I fired myself up.
Yeah, calm down.
Quickly, Tyreek Hill. Well, Noah Lyles, 100 meter champion, Olympics, says he would race Tyreek Hill if he's serious.
Of course he would.
I would love to see that.
I want him to race in pads on turf because that's the only way. I think Tyreek stands a chance in that.
I want to see him race and then go in a
It's
cage,
all about the start too. The intricacies of the start that Tyreek doesn't.
I want him to race on turf, man. If they race on a track, no Lyles is going to beat the brakes off.
There's not two people I wish would shut up more than these two. I wish they'd go in a cage and fight it out. That's what I want to see: bare knuckle brawl and. Just shut one of them up.
Or just hook up and make love and get it over with that homoeroticism. What's coming up and I'm mic'd up?
Well, look, man, we come back. We're going to talk about the Braves and the series that is coming up tomorrow and the craziness happening on the West Coast trip. And then for mic'd up, man, I got a plea. If you're a Georgia fan out there, I got a plea for you. Florida fans, who else? LSU fans, I got a plea for you out there, man. I want to talk to you straight up, and I got a sound bite. A little nostalgic for Bama people, but I'm hollering at y'all today, man. That's coming up on the other side. Mic'd up, Sports Radio 910 again.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That ball is hit high. That ball is hit deep. Look out, truck. It came close. Another homer for Laureano. It's 2-0 Atlanta.
Brandon got in with a call yesterday. Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. 6-4 road trip. Off day today. Phillies. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. But right now, holding our breath, Austin Roddy, what's his status after getting in that hand-wrist area by a 95-mile-an-hour pitch? X-rays inconclusive yesterday. They're going to evaluate him further today, then we'll have an idea of what's going on.
Isn't confidence like the greatest thing, though? Laureano was kind of
arrogance.
Kind of, I almost said that to him at the when Terry Dylan fired up for Rob, but when Terry Fontenot, he was talking to him at the combine, he said, it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence.
It's not an arrogance, it's a confidence.
And he was doing that pregame hit with Arch and Wes, and I was standing there, I almost said, Terry, just I was sitting there watching your moves last week, and I just thought, it's not an arrogance,
it's a confidence.
But I decided, I said, now I'll pull back the reins on that one. But Laureano, like, I mean, he kind of struggled a little bit when he first got here. I thought at one point it was scrub.
Total scrub.
And still just a
journeyman bench type player.
He is, but he's producing. Yeah, Luke Williams came in yesterday, and for Riley, to your point with Riley's injury, and Mike pointed out to me, he did his job. He almost got Almost fell down trying to get a sacrifice bunt, but then he got one down and it did his
job.
Got
a sack bunt and he hit one in the gap later on. Almost stretched it. He thought about stretching it on a double and kind of retreats back to first base. But a number of great defensive plays at third as well. They looked like Austin Riley over there at third. And that's a tough thing to step into that role at the hot corner. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're not expecting to play third and you start getting lasers hit at you over and over again. But
yeah, that happened to me in softball a couple of times.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. Yeah. I thought Ramon Laureano, and he's a journeyman, but man, he's really started to step up to the plate when you look at his numbers over the last week. I mean, obviously the big fly yesterday, you look at Saturday, he has a hit, a couple of hits the day before that
He's in the majors for a reason.
Not only that, but look, man, he's a guy who's spent a lot of time in Oakland and has had a ton of success out there at that ballpark that the Angels play in. So it's just nice to see, man. As far as this week goes and facing off with the Phillies tomorrow night, just keep stacking series wins, right? I mean,
is that your word now?
Yeah,
you want to keep stacking days and series and wins?
Stacking days and wins, baby.
I guess, and y'all will have to weigh in on this. I'm having trouble as to whether or not, as a player, you treat this as a massive series. And I think the fans will. I expect it to be packed, but it's like one side of me is like, you need to understand how big this is. If you're the Braves, obviously you're looking at it, you're like, oh man, division on the line. But as a player also, you don't want to, like, do anything crazy. Just go out and play your game,
I hate to break it to people, but every series is big now. It's August 19th, and you're clinging, and I'm going to use the word clinging because I believe it right now. You're clinging to a wild card spot, the last wild card spot. The freaking division ain't got nothing to do with it. It is a playoff spot, and that is why you got to – You cannot afford to lose series right now. It's just the reality of the situation.
Well, it's not like football. Football, a lot of emotion. Baseball, you have to be kind of settled down, just have good at-bats.
Yeah, steady.
Have good at-bats.
Well, I think confidence is the most important thing when you go to the plate, right?
Not arrogance.
That's right. It's confidence, not an arrogance, and that's what you have to have.
Speaking about having that confidence, let's hit this mic.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Manti Te'o. You heard that name before? It was on Good Morning Football over the weekend. And look, I'm not, if you're a Georgia fan, I want you to lean into the speaker, okay? I'm not talking about Bama per se. I'm talking about anybody that's ever lived through that great period in your team's history. All right, and right now, it's the Georgia Bulldogs. Bo, I'm talking to the Florida fans from 15 years ago that enjoyed two national championships in 3 years. I'm talking to the LSU fans that lived through that 2019 season. I'm talking to all the fans out there that lived through that magical run with your university. Manti Te'o was asked about playing Alabama and the 2012 national title.
I saw this, yep.
And here's what he had to say.
Do remember this very vividly. My soon-to-be teammate DJ Fluker and Chance Warmack come running out of the locker room with their jerseys up. Their big bellies are out. And they have their fours up. And I remember DJ going by and saying, womp, 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 womp. And I remember vividly remembering the silence behind me. And I kind of glanced back at my teammates and the eyes on them were so large, I knew at that time, I was like, all right, this is going to be a long day. To my guys' credit, they never flinched. But let me tell you guys, when we played that Alabama team in 2013, there was a difference. There was a difference with those Bama boys.
Bring it in, Georgia fans. If you are listening to that, I want you to just take a step back and understand that you are living at the pinnacle of your fandom. You're doing it right now, man. The good old days are right now. They're right now, all right? And I want you to soak it in. And I'm not saying that Bama hasn't had any good days recently in the last 11 years. That's not true. That's not true at all.
You sound like a Blue Bell
but
commercial.
Let me just tell you right now, Rob, that 2012, that offensive line that rolled in there with Barrett Jones playing center, Chance Warmack, the 10th overall draft pick at left guard, weighing about 330. DJ Fluker, the right tackle, was about 350 himself, the 11th overall pick. Those were some Jessies, Rob.
Yep.
Those were some absolute Jessies up front. To hear him put it forefront, all I thought about was those were the good old days. Florida fans from 16 years ago, we talk about, I mean, you interchange it, right? If you're here, if you hear him talk about Chance Warmack and DJ Fluker, if you're a Florida fan, you say, man, I'm just going to put the name Pouncey in there, right? I'm just going to put the name Tebow in there. If you're a Georgia fan, you're talking about all the crazy players you've had the last couple of years. The LSU fans talking about the wide receiver and the offense from 2019. Just put the names in there. Yeah, Auburn fans, I'll even shout out to you. Go back to the Cam Newton days of 2010, even the Nick Marshall era as well. We've all lived through those glory days, man, and I want you to just soak it in right now.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. The only people that remember the bad times of those days, of the glory days, are the opposing fans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever – and I've Georgia fans go, yeah, all those criminals you guys had on that team. I don't know what you're talking about. We won two national titles. That's what I don't know what you're talking about. Like, who?
What?
I don't know that guy. And what? just like they won't remember any of the traffic tickets.
No,
the speeding, the reckless speeding and all those things that have happened in Georgia. You do enjoy it. And it's and the fact that Notre Dame was beat when they stepped on that field.
Oh, it was 17-0 for kickoff.
And they knew it.
I watched that from the Ivy in Buckhead. I did. And I was already like, you know, four drinks deep. And I looked up and I was like, well, I don't have to pay too close attention to this for the rest of the day. Yep. This is going down, man.
And that's the national title that Georgia should have had and won.
Yeah, that was the unfortunate reception there inside the 5-yard line that ended the game for Georgia fans.
It should have been thrown away.
Well, you can say that about the Braves, too. 95, I'm thinking, my God, we got, what, 4 or 5 Hall of Famers? Certainly going to win more. You had to wait 29 years to win another one.
So, man, what a great time that was. And what a great time it honestly is right now for Braves fans. You're not playing at the bottom of the division.
No.
And the Braves fans have not had to endure many runs like that in the last 30 years. But, God, soak it in, man. You are living in the literal good old days. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Look at Patriots fans. That cupboard is bare up there right now, it seems
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Well, don't ever forget.
The people of Boston deserve a loser.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do.
They've been spoiled.
Horrible people, horrible city.
Yeah, they're all just basketball fans now. They're just basketball fans.
That's why I tell people that these people, everybody I've been dealing with on Twitter wants to be negative, negative, negative about everything the Falcons are doing. I'm like, you guys can, well, this is last year. No, this is not the same as last year. Be miserable if you want. I choose to be optimistic and happy and excited about everything they've done this offseason.
You want a smart, lasting, clean? Of course you do. ZeroRez.com. Hey, who deserves a wake-up call? 404-726-0929. We all deserve a wake-up call from time to time. What's your beef? Let us know next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.